Good morning, afternoon, or evening, ladies and gentlemen, depending upon where you are. My name is Mike Utzler, and I am Otto's chairman. As chairman of this meeting, and on behalf of my fellow directors, I'm pleased to welcome you to the 2022 Annual General Meeting of Otto Energy Limited. It's now just after 2:30 p.m. Adelaide time, and as a quorum is present, I will declare the meeting open. Today's meeting is actually a hybrid meeting being held at Level 2, 70 Hindmarsh Square in Adelaide, as well as online via the Link platform. This recognizes the broad diversity of our shareholders in their many locations, and it allows us to connect with those shareholders, proxies, and guests to ensure they can attend the meeting in either person or virtually. Shareholders and proxies who are unable to attend in person can view the meeting live via the Link platform. They will be able to ask questions either orally or in writing and to cast their votes through the platform. Before I talk about how we will manage the voting and questions during the meeting, I would like to highlight a couple of safety and housekeeping matters for those that are in the room in Adelaide. In case of an emergency there, you will hear a beep, beep, beep from the alert alarm system. Please await instructions and be ready to evacuate the building accordingly. Please leave through the exits in the back of the room. We will have fire wardens guiding us should this occur. Could I please ask you now to switch your mobile phones to silent if you now haven't already done so? And I remind you for everyone participating that any recording and or photography is not permitted during the meeting. For those of you in the room, you should register with the company secretary when you arrived, which will enable you to vote and to ask questions. If you have not registered, please seek out the company secretary now. In terms of voting today, all resolutions will be decided by poll. Once the poll has been closed and the votes compiled, a report on the final results will be announced to the ASX and be made available on Otto's website. Slide 2. Only shareholders or the representatives or proxy holders are entitled to ask questions. If you have joined the meeting online and are entitled to ask a question, you can submit your questions by clicking on the Ask a Question button, either at the top or bottom of your webpage. The Ask a Question box will then pop up with two sections for you to complete. In the Regarding section, click on the drop-down arrow and select the category or resolution for your question. Click in the Question section and type the question and click on Submit That Question. A View Questions box will appear where you can view your questions at any point. Only you can see the questions that you've asked. If your question has been answered and you would like to exercise your right to reply, you can submit another question. And for those of you who are in the room, if you're holding a blue admission card and you wish to ask a question, simply raise your admission card and wait for the chairman or company secretary to call upon you. Please state your name, and if you represent an organization, the name of your organization. To ensure that we can accommodate as many questions as possible, please keep your questions short and to the point. Note that not all of the questions are guaranteed to be answered during the meeting, but we will certainly do our best to address any concerns that you raise. And please note that while you can submit questions from now on, I will not be addressing them until the relevant time within the meeting. Also note that your questions may be moderated, or if there are multiple questions all concerning the same topic, they may be combined to allow us to ensure that we get as many questions answered and asked as possible. If we do run out of time, given that we have an hour time limit for this meeting today, we will work to answer those questions via email or posting them on our website as a follow-up within the shareholder meeting outcomes. The notice of the meeting and explanatory memorandum were distributed to all shareholders on the 17th of October of 2022, and I propose to take them as read. With that, thank you. And we move to slide 3. The format for today's meeting is to conduct the formal business of the meeting first, which will then be followed by a presentation by myself. I know that shareholders will have questions for the board, and we will answer those questions during the formal business where I intend to invite questions in relation to the accounts, as well as before we vote on each resolution. It is my pleasure to introduce my fellow members of the Auto Energy Board to you, who are all virtually in attendance today. Starting with Mr. John Jetter, Mr. Jeff Page, Mr. Paul Sinesia, and Mr. John Madden. And we thank them for their presence. We're also joined today by our Chief Financial Officer, Sergio Castro, as well as our company secretary and other members of the management team, Phil Trajanovich, Will Armstrong, Julie Dunmore. In addition, we have our auditors from BDO who will be available to assist with any questions regarding our accounts. I will read out any shareholder questions, or Caitlin will read out, our company secretary will read out any questions during the course of business at today's meeting at the appropriate times. From a proxy votes perspective, we have received proxies from 128 members, representing over 49.44% of the company's voting shares. These will be reported to the ASX for each resolution. After discussion of each resolution and before putting the resolution to vote, the proxy votes will be displayed on the screen for members' information. Caitlin, do we have any apologies?
No apologies.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to take this opportunity to update you on OEL's business over the past 12 months and how the 2023 financial year is shaping up so far. So if we move to slide 6 and my address, I open it with these comments. A year ago, I spoke about the fact that the previous 12 months had been one of the most significant periods of global change and transformation that most of us have ever seen. A year later, these challenges, combined with the outbreak of war in Ukraine and a continuing shift in international economic uncertainties, have resulted in even greater shifts in the energy sector and the world. Clearly, energy security and energy poverty have become very real issues across the globe. It's creating greater volatility in the demand for, the pricing of, and the sourcing of energy options. Collectively, there is a continuing need to find real solutions to reduce the impacts that the demand for energy has on the world that we all live in. Set against the backdrop of the past year's complex challenges, though, Auto's strategy combined with its operational results and delivery have seen us deliver one of the best financial results in our company's long history. At the time of reporting for this meeting, we had reduced our debt by 80% throughout the year, leaving a debt of only $2.3 million as of June 30th. But I'm very pleased to be able to say that as of September 30th, the company is debt-free. We are not only debt-free, we are hedge-free and in a position to fully take advantage of the strong economic position that we now find ourselves. Further, we have an excellent asset base, and it generates meaningful cash flow with significant long-term values. Our recent discoveries at Eves, Mosquito Bay West, and Oyster Bayou South, together with the recompletion efforts at South Marsh Island 71 on the F2 well, and the ongoing recompletion activities of Green Canyon 21, are simply going to not only diversify our asset base, but they're going to provide a real boost in further cash flow outlook and create an example of adding real value in our base business over this past year. We have demonstrated our focus and our resiliency in delivering these record results during fiscal year 2022, and we are looking forward to the future with the same determination and resolve on building from this track record. Building on this momentum, we're well positioned, as I've mentioned, with a strong balance sheet, a now robust production base, and significant operational cash flow, which enables us to grow the company and in the process of growing the company, increase value to our shareholders. The Auto team overall continues to be in a position to rapidly evaluate opportunities that are being presented in the marketplace, and to be able to execute on the acquisition of those opportunities that meet our very disciplined criteria, which we've established technically and commercially. We continue to access opportunities to remain active in our yearly drilling program efforts while maintaining that financial flexibility that allows us to position ourselves to consider producing acquisitions that will further grow our shareholder value and position us for continuing sustained success in that growth. I think it's important to emphasize that we will continue to deliver this on the track record of success we've begun to establish by maintaining our financial and operating discipline, by further streamlining our corporate structure to reduce its historically driven complexity, and by optimizing the cost of running this business. With our track record and our balance sheet, we will continue to expand capturing high-value potential prospects and PDP acquisitions. We will continue to look to build scale and to build portfolio diversity in our asset base and in our product mix, giving us access to both oil price volatility and gas pricing volatility. We will continue to work on maintaining the transparency and the rigor of the performance management that we've established over these 2 years in our business. I do want to recognize our leadership team and all of those who've made significant contributions and commitment to helping us achieve the changes that we've implemented, as well as enabled us to deliver on this track record that's emerging during these very, very challenging times. I also want to acknowledge the contribution and the counsel of my fellow board members and genuinely thank them for their continued commitment to Otto and their support to myself and the management team. On behalf of the board, I'd also obviously like to thank our shareholders for their continuing support and their demonstration of endorsing our plans in the nature of our improvement in our share value. I'm confident that the change that has occurred over the past year will only accelerate and create more opportunities for the company and its shareholders. I am sure that in my belief that Otto is positioned to thrive and that we can and will achieve even greater levels of success in our years to come. I look forward to sharing Otto's continued program as we forge ahead, building a long-term sustainable business where every customer, partner, investor, supplier, and employee benefits in the shared value of our continuing business success. With that, I'd like to turn it over to the formal business process of the meeting and move to slide 7. Slide 7 outlines the voting procedures. Voting today will be conducted by way of a poll on all items of business. In order to provide you with enough time to vote, I will shortly open up voting for all resolutions. For those who are attending online, if you're eligible to vote at this meeting, please register to vote first. Click on Get a Voting Card button. Once you've registered, your voting card will appear with all of the resolutions to be voted on by the shareholders at this meeting, as set out in the notice of the meeting. You may need to use the scroll bar on the right-hand side of the voting card to ensure that you see all of the resolutions. For those shareholders who are attending in person, if you've already sent your proxy forms in, you don't need to vote again. But for proxy holders in the room and those shareholders who might not yet have appointed a proxy and are eligible and wish to vote, you now need to complete your vote on the voting device available from the company secretary at any time until I declare voting closed. Shareholders and proxies can either submit a full vote or a partial vote. I now declare voting open on all items of business. Please submit your votes at any time, and I will provide ample notice prior to the close of the voting. Shareholders are reminded that your board strongly recommends that you vote for all of the resolutions today. At this point, I want to appoint Chris Hernandez of Link Market Services to be returning officer and to conduct the poll. The notice of the meeting provides details of the motions to be put to this meeting, and I will give shareholders the opportunity to ask questions and comment on each of the motions. If we move to slide 8, I would now want to turn to the business agenda for this annual general meeting. The first item is to receive, consider, and discuss the company's financial statements and the report of the directors and auditors for the year ended June 30th, 2022. We aren't required to formally adopt these documents by way of a resolution of shareholders. However, I would be pleased to take comments or questions from the shareholders on this item. I want to note that OEL's lead auditor, Mr. Mark Giuffre of BDO, is present by virtual means and is also available to answer questions concerning our accounts where appropriate. As I'm unable to accept questions and comments which are not relevant to this particular conversation, if a question is raised or a comment is made on a point not connected with our financial statements or other matters to be dealt with in this section, we will work to address those later in the meeting as appropriate. If there are questions about our business, I'll start with questions from the room, and then I'll move to online. Are there any questions from the room?
There are no questions from the room, and there are no questions online.
Very good. So with that, I thank you. The notice of meeting invited shareholders to submit written questions to our auditor. If the questions are relevant to either the conduct of the audit, the preparation and content of the auditor's report, the accounting policies adopted by the company in relation to the preparation of the financial statements, and the independence of the auditor in relation to the conduct of the audit. Do we have any written questions for the auditor?
No written questions for the auditor.
Very good. Do we have any questions either from the floor or online for the auditor?
No questions.
Very good. If we can then move to slide 9. And we will begin to look at the ordinary business of the meeting, starting with Resolution 1. Resolution 1 is the adoption of the remuneration report. The first resolution is, as I said, the adoption of the remuneration report for the year ended June 30th, 2022. Section 250R(2) of the Corporations Act requires that the remuneration report be adopted at an annual general meeting. Please note that the vote on this resolution is advisory only. It doesn't bind the directors or the company. Does any member wish to make a comment or ask a question about the proposed resolutions? Caitlin, do we have any questions from the room?
No questions from the room and no questions online.
Very good. I now move that the members consider and, if thought fit, pass the Resolution 1 in the notice of the meeting to adopt our remuneration report. Please note that the details of the proxy votes are now shown on the screen on slide 11, and I'll put the motion to a vote as an ordinary resolution. You're invited to lodge your vote for Resolution 1 by using the polling icon. And I'll wait for a few moments. Very good. We'll now move to Resolution 2, which is the re-election of director who retires by rotation, Mr. Jeff Page. Mr. Page was appointed in July of 2020 as a non-executive director. He is a finance professional with over 20 years of senior finance, accounting, and management experiences gained globally within a number of industries. He has over 10 years of board experience gained in several differing firms. Mr. Page has served as our audit and risk chairman and as a member of our Remuneration and Nominations Committee. Mr. Page is also a member of CPA Australia. He's a fellow member of the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants and a fellow member of the Governance Institute of Australia. Are there any questions from the floor or online with regards to the proposal to appoint Mr. Jeff Page? Reappoint.
There are no questions from the floor or online.
The directors, Mr. Page abstaining, then support the election of Jeff Page and recommend that shareholders vote in favor of Resolution 2. Please note the details of the proxy votes that are now shown on the screen on slide 13. I will now put the motion to a vote as an ordinary resolution. You're invited to lodge your vote for Resolution 2 by using the polling icon. And again, I will wait briefly to allow you to vote. Thank you. Moving to Resolution 3, which is the election of director appointed by the board, John Madden. Mr. Madden has over 40 years of experience with a proven track record that encompasses administrative, acquisitions, business analysis, community consultation, corporate secretarial experiences and functionality, feasibility studies, financing, including the abilities to raise equity on both listed and unlisted entities, or for unlisted and listed entities, IPOing on the AIM London markets, planning and strategic studies, accounting, and taxation. These experiences were gained through positions held at both major and junior mining companies at corporate and operating levels. Mr. Madden is a fellow of the CPA Australia and is a member of the Institute of Company Directors. Does any member wish to make a comment or ask a question with regards to this resolution and the proposed appointment of John Madden? Are there any questions from the floor or online?
There are no questions. There are no questions from the floor, and there are no questions online.
Very good. Slide 15 provides the proxy vote status on this resolution. I will now put the motion to a vote as an ordinary resolution, and you are invited to lodge your votes by using the polling icon. I'll again wait. The next issue, Resolution 4, which slide 16, which was regarding the adoption of a replacement constitution, was withdrawn before this meeting. The votes cast on this resolution will not need to be counted, but the board will seek adoption of a replacement or amended constitution at a later date. Moving to slide 17 and Resolution 5, the board is seeking approval of the 7.1A mandate. This seeks shareholders' approval by way of special resolution for the company to have an additional 10% placement capacity provided for in Listing Rule 7.1A to be able to issue equity securities without shareholder approvals. Further details into the relationship of this issue are set out in the explanatory memorandum. Are there any questions from the floor or online with regards to this resolution?
There are no questions.
I now move that the members then consider and, if thought fit, pass Resolution 5 in the notice of the meeting with respect to approving 7.1A mandate. Moving to slide 18, the proxy votes for Resolution 5 are now available. I will put the motion to vote as a special resolution, and you are invited to lodge your vote for Resolution 5 by using the polling icon. I'll wait to allow for you to vote. Very good. With that, I want to move to close the meeting. This concludes all the resolutions to be voted, and I will shortly close the voting system. Please ensure that you've cast your votes on all five of the resolutions. I will now pause for a moment to allow you time to finalize those votes. Shareholders are reminded that your board does recommend that you vote for all of our resolutions, and the chairman intends to vote all undirected proxies in favor of the resolutions put into the notice of the meeting. I'll wait approximately 2 minutes before I declare the poll closed. All right, with that, I declare the polls closed, and I formally charge Mr. Hernandez as returning officer to count the votes. After all the votes have been counted, the results of today's poll will be released to the Australia Securities Exchange and will be displayed on the company's website. Ladies and gentlemen, there being no other businesses brought before this meeting, that concludes the formal business of the annual general meeting, and I thank you for your participation and your support. I'll now turn to the presentation following the AGM. All right, so if we move to slide 19, I'll now provide a CEO chairman's address and update for the benefit of giving you a view on the company's status, its progress, and where we see the near-term future moving. With that, if we move from slide 19 to slide 20, as always, given the nature of these types of presentations, it's important to recognize our disclaimer and the notices that we provide therein with regards to any forward-looking statements made, as well as a certification of the information provided as having been made public or certified by the appropriate experts associated with this. If we can move to slide 21. Since I joined the company 2 years ago, we've placed this slide in almost every presentation and every opportunity to reflect that our intent in building confidence and recognition of Otto Energy as a company and its value it represents, that it begins with the abilities to leverage the management and the personnel that we use to help run and deliver this business day in and day out, that we would in fact maximize the existing asset base that we started with, that we were fortunate to have inherited 2 years ago in the process of the company's decisions leading to that point, that we would drive a significant level of technical and fiscal discipline to rebase the company. And then off the rebasing of that company, we would position ourselves to begin a slow and steady phased growth of adding resources to reserves to production potential that was highly economic, and in return, build a low margins business or high margins business with a low threshold cost, break-even cost of doing business that ensured we could begin to improve shareholder returns. We go to the next slide. Over the course of the last 2 years in making these presentations, you know, I'm pleased to say that our basic position as a company remains the same, with roughly 4.8 billion shares outstanding, our share price now looking at 1.4, 1.5 cents in the marketplace, And most importantly, as I stated earlier in my chairman's address, we are now debt-free and we are hedge-free. And we are positioned with a strong balance sheet of money in the bank, growing cash flows, and our abilities to leverage those. And I'll talk more about those in the coming slides. We're led by a board and a management team to deliver those results, and we're continuing to work to expand the portfolio from a registry perspective of participation between institutions, retail shareholders, and others. If we move to the next slide, slide 23, taking just a moment to state the obvious, but we are in a position globally where we are looking at tremendous volatility in the marketplace and all that's transpiring in that front, on those fronts. You know, as this slide shows, in that regard, we're dealing with the challenges associated with increasing demands, increasing security of supply questions and challenges against a backdrop of growing demand for the product on a global basis and all forms of energy demand growing. But the cost of those energy sources also increasing and the challenge that that represents to us as consumers. As a company, over that same period of time, though, as we've stressed, we've seen significant improvement in our cash flow. We've seen significant reduction in our debt to a point at which we now have zero debt. And it's positioned us as a result to be a strong performer in a volatile marketplace. And our disciplined operating model, ensuring that we remain disciplined in our abilities to deliver returns in the outcome of our cash flow capability, our balance sheet strength, and our abilities to engage in looking at growth options and opportunities. If we move to slide 24, it's with real pleasure that I stand here a year later from having presented last year the basis of the company resting in three assets in the Gulf of Mexico, onshore and offshore, to being in a position today where with our success through exploration, as well as our continued abilities to identify and target additional potentials for the future, that we now set with seven assets in our portfolio as compared to three just a year ago. Six of those assets with the completion of the GC21 recompletion will be producing and delivering cash flow in an immediate sense on an ongoing basis for our financial year 23. And we have one asset which we've been awarded through our lease sale activities in the Gulf of Mexico, South 1048, which is a longer-term resource potential but represents in a pre-drill best estimate 16 BCF and 3.6 million barrels of oil net to Otto. This is almost equal to our existing total company P1, P2 reserves as we set today. And so an exciting opportunity for the future that we're continuing to look to build not only near-term drilling potentials to add additional fields and resource mix in terms of oil versus gas onshore and offshore, but also looking to build an inventory for the future that allows us to continue in our development of new resource and reserves replacements to build our cash flow for the future. If we move to slide 25, again, I've spoken frequently about our focus strategically is on first and foremost managing the existing base of now six assets, versus three a year ago, continuing to look to invest to optimize and accelerate the resources to reserves to production that are behind pipe within those fields and within those reservoirs that we've developed or been developed with our participation, and then to look at how we can grow the company through the drill bit, targeting 4 to 6 wells per year to participate in to add new fields and new resources, as well as continuing to look for those lower risk existing PDP-producing assets that may be available to buy that are complementary to the company's infrastructure and the company's asset base as it's represented from a conventional oil and gas focus in the Gulf of Mexico onshore and offshore. It is important because we've said since I joined the organization, this is a journey. It is not a sprint, and it required us to take significant steps in 2020 and 2021 to rebase the company, to rebuild its balance sheet, to position the company from a credibility standpoint as a partner of choice in the Gulf of Mexico with a balance sheet to be able to fund and support participating in growth potentials. And we've accomplished a significant amount of success in that over the course of these 2 years in all aspects of how we run the company today. And it's positioned us, as we've shown with our last three successful exploration wells, that we're beginning to deliver on the abilities to build a asset base and a diversified portfolio of producing capabilities. And we look to continue to extend that in 2022 and 2023. With each step and success that we have over these next several years, it allows us not only with that continuing strength of company asset base, but also its balance sheet to begin to take larger steps in growing the company as the opportunities present themselves and or finding mechanisms by which we can return greater value to the shareholder. And we continue to see those as important elements of this journey that we continue to progress over the next several years. If we move to the next slide, slide 26. We will, however, be driven by the continued discipline that we've imposed on the organization from top to bottom against the technical processes of assessing and evaluating our opportunities, against the commercial assessment and evaluation and the testing of those opportunities against a low, medium, and high scenario for pricing as well as other associated risks. And we will use that to leverage the financials discipline that ensures that we can operate within the means of our cash flow, our balance sheet, and the existing debt facilities that we can leverage as we see opportunities appropriate to grow against. That will, in fact, allow us to fund the programs that I've already laid out between the drilling of 4 to 6 wells per year, as well as the targeting of selective PDP acquisitions. It will also begin with further success to allow us to look at other options on which we can continue to drive share price appreciation as well as return to shareholders in the form of dividends, buybacks, or other mechanisms that we can create value through. If we move to slide 27, I do want to take a moment because financial year 2022 was the company's best financial year in its history, excluding 2015 with the sale of the Gaylock assets and the returns of 50% of those proceeds to shareholders. This was a remarkable year in every measure. And you can see, I won't belabor these numbers, but the bottom line is we also delivered our first year of profitability, generating $19.8 million in profits and before tax and after tax, you know, good problem to have in that making profits you do pay taxes of $15.5 million. But you can see in each of these cases, we've had substantial financial improvements overall. And I'll touch base a little bit more on that in the next slide, slide 28, please. Where if you take a look at this slide, you can see from the standpoint of our financial estimate performance, you see that $40.6 million that in operating revenues that are associated with that, the $15.5 million in net profit after tax. And as I've mentioned, post the financial results, now zero debt in terms of debt owed to anybody outside of the company. From an operating standpoint, we produced 845,000 barrels. We had an operating revenue of, we had a post-cash flow, pre-cash flow of $24.9 million in there. And you can see in terms of our return on equity of 28% and our return on average capital employed, or ROCE, of 41%. You can see when compared year on year on year, what you see is collectively moving from negatives to positives and or strengthening in every, you know, in every year over the past 2 years to the culmination of these remarkable results for 2022. And certainly, while it's not a guarantee, we anticipate even better results in 2023 as a result of the continuing successes of the new fields and wells being added to the portfolio, Oyster Bayou, Mosquito Bay, Ease, and the additional opportunities that we anticipate being able to bring into and our portfolio over the course of the next 6 to 12 months. If we move to slide 29, I think importantly, as part of this discipline, we've made a genuine effort to look at the risk profile of what we invest in and the types of opportunities that gives us greater leverage, both in a market sense of being able to access multiple markets for both our oil and our gas and maximizing the price received, looking at the cost and infrastructure from an operating cost and availability of infrastructure so that less money is targeted to having to build new facilities to produce and more money can be built on the actual capturing of resources to reserves to production. Against that backdrop, again, with our ever strengthening balance sheet, it allows us to have more free cash and therefore greater opportunities to see more prospects coming into and more assets that we can afford to compete with a volatile market in terms of potentials to capture. But we will remain disciplined in our capital allocation to ensure that we remain in a position to continuously deliver on the performance that we've achieved to date and to build on that performance for the future. If we move to the next slide, to that extent, we provided our first views of financial year 2023 from a guidance range perspective. We're anticipating with the new fields online since financial year 2022 that we should see a production range between 900,000 and over a million barrels. And the reason for that range and the uncertainty around that lies in the fact that part of the production associated with that uplift comes from the wells not yet drilled and or included in our portfolio, but anticipated in our planning basis for those 4 to 6 wells that we expect to capture, one of which we've already captured in Oyster Bayou being a significant success. Two, we're looking at a capital spend to capture those opportunities and participate in those 4 to 6 wells of between $10 and $15 million net to auto, which we can easily finance out of our balance sheet. And this does include the cost increases associated with GC21 from an expectations to complete that well to finalize its recompletion efforts. Our operating cost, because we're going to be producing more oil and we have six fields instead of three, is actually going to increase. But the operators that we are working with have done an excellent job in trying to manage the inflationary pressures being seen in the oil and gas industry and across the industry as a whole. And to that extent, we're seeing marginal increases year on year within the individual fields. So the bulk of this increase lies in two areas. One, the cost of insurance, which is increasing for all of us as consumers, and two, in the cost associated with the incremental barrels that we plan to produce. And then finally, our net field lifting cost, we continue to hold constant against, again, the increasing pressures associated with the cost of goods and services and doing business and the service providers who help support us in delivering our business day in and day out. We are looking at an oil price range of between a low of $81 to $101 in 2022, and we see a decline on that like all industry does in 2023. and we've incorporated that into our future economic analysis. Our gas prices, we test against a low of $4.50 versus $5.40 base case and $6.40 in MCF in the upside case. We do test all new projects with a view towards the potential of a carbon tax going forward. We do not have to pay, and we are not subject to carbon tax, and we don't expect to be subject to carbon tax in 2023, and yet we still recognize the reality of that in the marketplace, and therefore our intent from a financial discipline standpoint to ensure that is accounted for in our economic decision to participate and to pursue new opportunities. If we move to slide 31, I want to address one of the major issues that as a company and as shareholders that we consistently are challenged on. Number one, I think since looking at a low of April of 2020 to where we sit today, from 0.004 tenths of a cent Australian to 1.5 cents, that's a more than threefold improvement in share price over the last 2 years. In that same time frame, we've, as we've pointed out, we've increased revenues, we've increased profitability, and we've decreased to a point of zero our debt, and we have zero hedging. If you move to slide 32, this slide attempts to take a look at the last 12 months, and it's a fair challenge that, in fact, we've been basically flat in our share price over the last 12 months. But it is against a backdrop, as this slide shows, on a relative basis, that when you compare us against our peer group in Australia, we've significantly outperformed the Australian Oil and Gas Junior peer group. We've significantly outperformed the ASX 200. We've outperformed the S&P 500 in the United States. And we're competing with the Gulf of Mexico peer group, which is small in the number of public companies. We don't have data for the private companies, especially when you account for the strength of the U.S. dollar in contrast to the Australian dollar on a comparative basis. So we actually are outperforming the market. We recognize, however, we are still below what we believe is both real and relative fair value for the company. And if we move to slide 33, our simplest and easiest way to try to address this in every conversation that we have is a simple fact that, as everyone all too well knows, that at 1.4 cents at the time this slide was prepared last week, today at 1.5 cents Australian, you know, we have a market value of $67.1 million. But we essentially have in Australian dollars between our cash in the bank, our cash flow in the month, and our position of ownership in Pantheon shares and the potential value of the override that we hold in that asset, nearly $50 million, which leaves us with Australian, which leaves us with roughly $18 million in the current marketplace being assessed as the value of our company and its resource base. Now, anyone looking at this data can use whichever cost estimates and cost profiles they want to use, but the simple fact is you compare that to the fact that we have and own 7.8 million barrels of oil equivalent. And if you think about the fact that it's 7.8 million barrels of oil equivalent minus operating costs, minus additional capital that would need to be spent to capture all of those barrels, it still leaves you with a significantly greater value, even if you were to only look at the proved level, a significantly larger cash value attributable to the resource base this company owns than what the market has subscribed to in terms of $18 million assessed value for the company. And finally, if you look at slide 34, going to the next slide, the bottom line is whether you're looking at it through the lens of production through reserves, as we just did in the previous slide, in cash flow, in EBITDA or EBITDAX, compared to the same peer groups that I showed you earlier that we're outperforming in terms of both Australia and competing with in the U.S., we are grossly undervalued in both a real term and a relative term value. We continue to do and use every opportunity to try to communicate to the market this reality. But I do, and while frustrated, I do remain confident. Our board remains confident that the simple fundamentals of the financial strength of this company, its reserve and resource position, its track record of building success on finding, developing, and replacing existing reserves with new reserves and production are going to yield eventually and over time a genuine reflection in the marketplace of our true market value. We continue to work tirelessly to messaging that in every forum, in every opportunity that we can. But we recognize that there is still a disconnect between the realities of the strength of this company and where we sit in the market's view today on a share price appreciation perspective. With that, if we move to slide 35, I'll simply close with saying that, again, as we've stressed over these last 2 years, our turnaround in some ways has been overnight. In other ways, it is a journey. It is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And we will continue to progress with one new opportunity at a time, building off our track record of success, staying focused and disciplined in our operating, commercial, and financial models to ensure that we have sufficient capital to be able to invest in growing the company and over time being in a position to then return that in both appreciation and share price as well as other vehicles to create additional value for our shareholders. I'm excited about the challenges and the opportunities that we see in front of us as a company. I remain, after 2 years of being both chairman and CEO of this enterprise, convinced that we have the right strategy, that we have the right operating discipline and technical models that allows us to identify quality opportunities to invest to grow this company. And I remain convinced that the market will realize that true value of this in the performance in our share price. With that, I want to thank everyone for participating, and I will open the phones up to questions.
There are no questions, Mike.
Very good. It's not often that I finish a presentation where I can sit back and say I must have done such an outstanding job in being simple, clear, and concise with the message behind the company's position. To be able to say thank you all very much for your confidence and your continued interest in Otto Energy. And I look forward to rewarding your confidence in us and the continuing success of the company. And stay tuned to that as we communicate those successes in the near future. Thank you very much. And with that, I close the meeting and close the lines.